Hello and welcome to the What We've Watched podcast. My name is Chris.
This is Emmett.
And this is episode 378. And this week, Star Chasers, Legend of Orin.
Yeah, it's just actually Star Chaser.
Oh, it's just Star Chaser,
yeah,
Legend
yeah.
of Orin.
Yeah, Star
okay.
Chaser.
Okay.
All one word. That's what always kept messing me up.
Yes.
Because I was like, it's Star Chaser. Nope, it's
Star Chaser.
It's just the name of the ship.
Right.
Yeah, so Star Chaser, The Legend of Orin. Was written by Jeffrey Scott, directed by Stephen Hahn, and released November 1985. Mm-hmm. And it is an animated film.
Yeah.
Originally released in 3D. Well, I guess, like, made in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Which greatly increased the difficulty and budget of making it. Which, unfortunately...
Yeah.
I mean, not that it... I mean, it wouldn't have...
I mean,
it wouldn't have mattered even without that, like, just the level
this
of
was,
production.
It was supposed to be a $2 million production that turned into a $6 million production that turned into a $14 million
yeah.
production.
Yeah.
And then lost all the money.
A lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so this was something, this is like, I've never seen this. I've heard of it, but never seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was definitely familiar with, like, most of the... imagery from this movie. Like, I'd clearly seen pictures and
I had never heard of it until stumbling across it recently.
That's when
I brought it up.
Like, later in the movie where Orin gets that, like, blue life jacket vest.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Totally had seen that. I'd seen the bad guy before. Like, just...
Nothing.
Probably in memes, maybe? I'm not 100% sure.
I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
I stumbled across it, and that's when, like, I brought it up with you.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, man, this is crazy. Like... I mean, I only wish I could have seen it in 3D. Like, that was
really interesting
just to see, like, what it was supposed to actually look like.
I mean, there's a 3D version on YouTube. I don't know how well it works, but, yeah. Surprisingly enough, like, I thought, production-wise, considering the time it was made, I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, they obviously spent enough money.
Like, the animation was good. The design stuff was, you know, creative for the time, the kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And this is probably because of the time it came out in 85. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of, like, this is kind of just like a Star Wars ripoff.
Oh, no, 100%.
Yeah. I didn't get that quite as much. Like, there was aspects
of it. No, but you have to remember,
it's
not... When you talk about things that are Star Wars ripoffs, you're not saying that they're necessarily, like, following the exact...
Yeah.
It's more of a, like, a general...
I got way more He-Man vibes from this than, like it, especially aesthetically. Like, He-Man was... already existed at this point.
Sure.
Yeah, no, like not for a long time. It was actually just before the cartoon came out.
Yeah.
But I like the robots, the villains, like a lot of it really reminded me of He-Man. Kind of real like sci-fi for kids in the 80s vibes.
Yeah.
Which I mean is exactly what this was.
I'm not so sure for how much for kids this
was. Yeah, well, exactly.
Wow. I mean, they really pushed some boundaries.
This is...
Well, I've actually seen, like, a lot of people, like, even on just the YouTube...
Were you not into sexy robots?
Just on the YouTube comments and stuff, a lot of people actually were comparing it to heavy metal.
Yes.
Which, actually, it definitely has some very similarity to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine that part of it is because, like, they would have been... like taking a lot of inspiration from, like, in a general sense, it definitely falls in the category of the general, like, Star Wars ripoff genre.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this time period, that was definitely its own thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was just everywhere.
I mean,
and like I say, like, it doesn't mean that it has to be like a direct one-to-one kind of.
Oh no!
Like,
but the aspects are there.
Yeah,
the aspects are there.
But like in a general sense, it's people looking at like success of Star Wars and going, "Let's do our own like version of that to like try and replicate that." And we've talked about this before.
I mean, we got a Han Solo-ish character.
Yeah.
We got a Luke Skywalker-ish character. We've got a crazy sword.
Yeah.
Like a lightsaber.
Yeah, yeah.
But what if Obi-Wan lived in the lightsaber, kind of, and then became a little Firefly thing?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, that was basically, like, the whole thing with the Starflies was, like, kind of the equivalent of, like, Force Ghosts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Which actually weren't a thing in Star Wars at that time yet, but Because Force Ghosts were never seen until Return of the Jedi, right?
Yeah, so I mean...
And that hadn't come out yet.
Well, it was out when this movie was finished.
Yeah, but
it
wasn't not during when the years of production. Yeah.
Well, when they first started. But I mean, like, it would have been an ongoing...
Yeah. But also, like, little, like... Firefly, you know, energy beings, you know, administering, you know, nuggets of wisdom is, I mean, fits entirely within this genre that they're doing too. Yeah.
But yeah, like, so I definitely felt like I noticed, like, there's a lot of Star Wars in it. There's a lot of, like, you know, there's some heavy metal kind of similarities.
Definitely some heavy metal,
The opening credits sequence is super close to, like, the, like, Star Trek movies of this era, like the early 80s, like Wrath of Khan and Search for Spock and, like, those kind of, that era of Star Trek. Super similar. The music was really similar. The way the title is laid out and, like the music of Starfield as the background for the opening credits. Like, that was super Star Trek from this era. So, like, just stuff like that. Like, there's just a lot of different kind of...
The theme music just sounded like the Star Wars... theme remixed.
Yeah, there's just, like, a lot of... But, like, we've talked... Anyway, sir, we've talked about it before, right? How, you know, in this era, how there was this whole thing of, like, Star Wars...
Chasing the Star Wars,
kind of being a genre, almost. And how, you know, there was the stuff, like... Where it would just be... Everyone would kind of be like, oh, let's do our take on that. But, like, without, obviously, like, the money or the ability to, like, kind of do it... And you know, we've talked about how, like Ice Pirates took the perfect approach because they're like, we know that we're not able to, like, do what Star Wars did.
Yeah.
So we're just going to go in a different direction, make it more of a spoof, and make it just funny and, like, fun. And that's why, like, Ice Pirates is, like, one of the more successful, not successful, like, I mean, it wasn't successful financially any more than any of the other ones were.
But
like,
successful
it's more
creatively.
Successful as a film because it it recognized its limitations and it did its own thing. Whereas, like, a lot of the other Star Wars ripoffs of the time, and that even applies here, they were, like, overly ambitious, and they tried to be like, oh, we're gonna make the next Star Wars. And it's like, no, you're not. None of you are.
The thing is, like, looking at this film, I could also see a world and easily where this film had been successful. Like, there's, to me, anyway, there's nothing directly wrong with it.
Yeah, if it costs... 10%.
Well, that's the thing. If it actually costs the budget, there's nothing really wrong with it as it fits in. Like, it's got, you know, the right kind of characters, you know? I mean, maybe the writing's not amazing, but...
it's definitely not.
I mean, the dialogue writing is probably the worst aspect of this, but, like, the actual, like, beat-to-beat story progression writing was actually fine. Like, I didn't feel it was, like... At no point was I like... Well, this is stupid. Yeah. I was quite engaged with what was happening.
The story's not terrible.
Also, going into this so blank slate too.
I feel like the writing. That,
like, I have no idea where this story's going to go.
I feel like the problem is I feel like the level of the writing was more appropriate to, like, a kid's movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yet, like, the content was obviously not.
Yeah.
And so it made for this weird disconnect where you're just like. There's like a lot of stuff in here that's not.
It's for teenagers.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so.
But also, I mean, the degree of, like, in any, I mean, especially in the 80s, like, what writing was required for an animated film was a little, the bar was very low, right? Because it was kid stuff, you know? I mean, the writer of this is actually the same guy who wrote Muppet Babies.
Yeah, well, he did a lot of...
did a number of other things, but that's, like, his most famous.
Because the reason...
Notoriously for this.
Well, because this was actually the director and, like, the animation crew that did it were, like, TV.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the... Making this movie was originally intended as something to, like, keep them working in, like, the off-season from TV. But then it kind of ballooned into this, like, larger thing that was much more complicated than
they It's definitely the kind of thing where I could have been like, oh, this could have been just an ongoing, like, 20-minute Saturday morning cartoon almost. Like, the way.
Yeah, but I mean, not with. I mean, the production would have to have been so simplified.
Yeah. Not with the level of, like, you know, clearly the animation
and the decision to make it 3D.
Yeah, what?
Was probably the worst part of it, just because, like, while it's the thing that kind of distinguished, like, it's the reason why this movie is probably remembered at all, because it's such a unique thing.
Yeah,
but. And that probably hurt them the most in terms of, like, making it, you know, so much more difficult to produce, so much more expensive to produce, right? Because they were saying, like I read some stuff about talking about, like, the director and stuff talking about, like, how, like, if there was, like, an error made, it, like, wouldn't, because of the 3D, like, you would have to, like, it would take way more work to fix that, right, than it would in a normal thing. So basically they just added, like, so much extra work and extra cost, right, by doing it that way, because of course, you know, there was no you know, post conversion or anything back then. It was like, if you're gonna make it 3D, you're making it 3D, and if it's animation, you're basically animating the film twice, right? Plus, plus more times if there's any mistakes or any, you know, thing that you have to fix. Like,
there's no quick fix, right?
So, but, like, at the very baseline, you're doing the entire movie twice, essentially. Mm. You know, you're making the movie for each eye, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So.
Ouch.
You know, they just added so much extra. And like, from watching it, I was kind of like, there's not even that many, like, scenes where I can really think, like, wow, 3D would have made a big difference there.
Would have really made it pop, yeah.
Like, there's a couple things, like lasers being fired into the audience.
Ships zooming at the screen, maybe.
A couple times, but not that much. The only thing I can think is, like, maybe there's, like, a lot of depth.
That could be
it, like,
too.
But, like, even then, it's just...
Think about, like, situations where, like, the scene where he's at the swamp, maybe.
Yeah.
Or when they're doing the big final battle, once they've stolen the ship.
Yeah. I mean, the action-y, you know, stuff was, it was all right. It wasn't too bad. It was all right. I mean, there was a lot of just crazy, like,
Movie's pretty wild.
It was wild. It's really wild. Like, there's, like, the
setting right from the get-go. Like,
yeah, like, the whole kind of, like, mind world thing.
And, yeah,
like,
the mind world, and they all believe that hell is above them, and they have to only dig down, and...
Yeah, and just, like, it's pretty messed up.
Yeah. Zygon, yeah.
Yeah, concept, and then, like...
The bad guy there.
Yeah, and then, like, there's, like, I mean, like, his girlfriend...
Oh,
gets just like just because you think marked. They set it up like, oh, like she's gonna be the Princess Leia character, and she's gonna go off on this adventure with him because like they go together, and then, like, less than 15 minutes into the movie, she gets killed.
Yeah, she just gets choked out by the bad guy. Yeah,
I was like, oh,
dark.
Okay.
Well, we already had Grandpa killed. We have the blind younger brother, the extremely sad, pathetic blind younger brother.
Yeah.
We immediately kill the girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, it's really...
Yeah.
It is...
Well, that doesn't matter because then he gets to meet a princess later.
And I think it's one of those things,
which,
like...
Which is, like, so funny.
In some ways, a lot of, like, kind of, like, the I'm going to say adult, quote-unquote, aspects of this movie, the heavy metal aspects of the movie, remind me a lot of, like, the animated stuff from, like, the 70s and that, like, stuff like The Last Unicorn and stuff like that. Like, dark, really messed up, like...
Yeah.
Like, not for kids, but, like, kids watched it because it was a cartoon, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, at least heavy metal, I mean, it literally was straight up.
What's for adults.
Adult-oriented. Yeah. Like, it was marketed.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, man. Like, there's just, like, the mandroids.
Yeah.
Being, like, with, like, these, like, weird, like, twisted part biological, part machine.
Yeah.
And, like, talking about, like...
I want his arms!
Like, they're gonna talking about, like, harvesting, like, from living people, like parts that they can use. Mm-hmm. And you literally see, like, they have, like, these weird, like their guts hanging out and stuff, and, like, just weird, like, so twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the whole thing with like the fembot and the whole
that bit is about one of the like most messed up things
reprogrammer and yeah. It's just like, oh, and then now, like, it's in her derriere.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like he has to open up her butt and then like the camera just focuses on it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, yeah, because I mean the whole time every scene she's in, and then it always starts out with her butt pointing towards the camera. Him, there's your 3D.
Like,
the
very butt. Like problematic in itself.
Oh, it's by in some ways by far the most disturbing thing about this is she's in charge of like something.
Oh, I mean it's and then it's literally completely non-consensual. She is resisting.
Yeah.
And basically in distress.
Yeah.
And he basically just opens her up and reprograms her to be in love with him, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the whole rest of the movie, like, by the time you get to the end of the movie...
They just treat it completely normal. Like, yeah, yeah. Like that's just her character.
I mean, it's like... It's like, okay...
She's just part of the team.
It's a robot.
Yeah.
But, like...
It's weird.
Like, exactly.
It's really messed up.
I mean, it's as weird as, like... The droids thing in Star Wars, right? Yeah. Like, it's as weird as any of that, you know?
But it's worse because,
yeah.
like...
Well, there's a worse aspect to it, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because the droids are, like, robots. Like, they're tools, essentially. Yeah, yeah. They have personalities, but, like...
The idea of making C-3PO, the female maid bot in Spaceballs, came from this.
I mean, it does look... quite similar.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing I noticed is, speaking of C-3PO, I like how the ship is basically like if C-3PO and the Millennium Falcon were the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like he has like a personality more like a C-3PO style and like voice and everything, but he is the ship. Like Arthur, right? The ship's computer. So he is the ship, but then he has this kind of like personality and voice that's more sort of a C-3PO-ish. Mm-hmm. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you know, not like this is the first time that, you know, a ship's, like an AI ship's computer.
Yeah. It's very Star Trek.
It's obviously, like, a very, you know, normal thing in sci-fi. Yeah. But yeah, I guess you could say, like, it's a bit similar to, like, Hitchhiker's Guide, which would have already been out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things like that.
It was the, speaking of, I mean... This is probably not surprising considering the age.
A little bit of Flash Gordon.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Some similar aspects there.
How this this movie doesn't exactly treat women great. But like the princess.
Yeah.
Just like it starts out like, she's going to be like, she appears to be like the confident. She falls in love with the main character in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, she's like, oh, I fall in love with you. Like, you met like 2 hours ago, lady.
Well, I mean, in a movie, like that's not uncommon.
Yeah.
That's like a fairly normal. The problem is that.
Well, they didn't do anything to explain that why she had.
And
she fell in love with him by proximity.
Well, and she has like no character really.
Yeah, exactly.
Like she has no personality.
Yeah. Her bodyguard robot there has more, had more Morkin or what, Merkin, yeah. Actually, it had kind of a cool design.
It was not bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I mean, there's some, like, the general kind of, I mean, most of it's not super original, but, like, a lot of the sort of design aesthetic is fine.
Yeah.
Like I don't think, like, the ships look fine, the like, cities and stuff.
Again, reminded me of very much of stuff at the time. Reminded me of, like, little ROM Space Night.
I think it's kind of funny that the whole thing with the sword, this, like, kind of mythical, almost kind of like, you know, like sort of Excalibur-esque kind of thing with the sword. I was like, I love how the design, because it's like mostly just a hilt, right?
Yeah.
It's like an energy, you know, like more like an energy thing that's like invisible. The blade is like invisible for the most of it, or just energy.
Yeah.
So it's basically just like a hilt, which, I mean, okay, it's lightsabers, you know, that sort of. But, like, I love how the design of it is, like, looks like a cheap, like fantasy sword hilt prop.
Yeah.
Which, like, normally...
Your spirit Halloween sword.
Yeah, which, like, normally in, like, B-movies and stuff like that, they look like that because... It's a freaking B movie, like but like
it literally
animation.
Is.
You could have made it look like anything, and they chose to make it look like
the
a
most
spirit Halloween,
most mundane magic sword,
like fantasy sword, quote unquote. So bad. I was like, you have to be kidding me.
Yeah,
I was like, I couldn't figure out if like maybe it was just because they were trying to like go with like the tropey thing and be like,
well, if this was a real movie, that's what it would it would look like, so that's what we'll make it look like. And it's like, yeah, fit but
the setting,
because it's animated, like, you don't have to limit yourself like that. Yeah. You can make it look like anything. And it was just like, that's what they came up with?
Yeah.
That's probably one of the worst, like, design-wise, I was just...
I mean, it didn't matter. The sword was within him all along.
Yeah.
Which really didn't make sense for some of the stuff they showed earlier when the sword was clearly coming out of the hilt, even when he wasn't holding it.
Yeah.
Like, when the mandroids fell on it.
I guess it was like a
stuff.
Projection.
Sure.
I guess he was subconsciously...
Yeah.
You know,
So it didn't work when other people held it because it was just a handle.
Sure.
Yeah. That was, there's your force powers, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What if the lightsaber was made of force?
I mean, kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked some of the stuff when like it was just pretty much invisible and you could just see like the effects and stuff.
Well, we moved it quick. It had that like the blue.
Yeah. But like when it was kind of just like you'd have these invisible sort of like cutting force.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that. So.
Yeah.
And I do have to say that like
lots of ideas in this.
The fact
some
that,
good, some bad, but lots of ideas.
The fact that like the crystal stuff that they were mining was like as volatile as it was.
Yeah.
Like, and then basically like it's just their whole like, you know, the whole like bad guy like sort of city thing.
Oh yeah.
Is basically just like built over it. So it's like they just accidentally explode
blow up
the entire
city
at the end.
Yeah.
And you're like, I feel like that's a fairly significant design flaw.
Yeah.
Like, if the thing you're mining is, like, dangerously volatile, maybe don't, like, build your city right over it.
Yeah.
Or fill your
it
city
seemed
with
like
it. Like,
yeah, it seemed like a... I mean, it seemed like there should have been a better way for transporting that stuff around.
Yeah.
But it was all basically...
I just put it in a minecart.
Yeah. Oh, it was all that. Like, even when he stole it from that other ship, it was all just like... It was basically all, it's like
just people, loose.
It was just loose. Yeah, like wheelbarrows.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and it's like you can just blow it up.
It's like
shoot it with
it's
a laser
like,
and blow
yes,
it up.
Nothing like a wheelbarrow of nitroglycerin. Like what the hell?
Yeah.
And then just literally accidentally blow up the entire bad guy city, and it's just like, what? All right.
Yeah.
There was one thing bothered me a bit. The main bad guy there kept referring to, like, some event that happened, like, basically, I guess, like, the last time this happened.
Yeah.
But, like, nothing ever came of that. Like, it was sort of hinted at. And I was like, oh, they're, like, that's going to mean something later. Like, maybe they're going to, and then, like, no, he just ends up, like, eating crap and dying.
Yeah,
and it's just never explained. And it's like,
yeah.
I guess they were saving that for the sequel. I mean, I don't know where you go with like where you would go with this anyway, because it's very much like also like what if you shoved the Star Wars trilogy into a single movie?
Yeah.
You know,
like into like an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah. What if Luke cut Darth Vader in half and dumped him into lava at the end of it?
I mean, to be fair, I mean that's you know, I mean. There is definitely
robot. It's also robots all the way down too.
Yeah,
it turns out like everybody's a robot except for like the three main characters.
He's like the bad guy was like an advanced robot.
Yeah.
He was like an ancient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting. There was a very thoughtful injection in there. The fact that like robots like don't age, and it comes up many many times in the movie from various different robots on how like. Oh no, we've just been around forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, like both good guys and bad guys.
Well,
and
it's alluded just... because the bad guy, was it Zygon?
Yeah.
At one point, he has the reference, like, you know, like millions of years ago.
Yeah.
On a, like, forgotten planet.
Yeah.
There was, like, a chess computer first defeated a human opponent.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's clearly talking about, like, Earth.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
This is supposed to be, like, unfathomably, like, far future.
Yeah.
So I mean that makes sense, right? Like the idea that basically like history as we know it would be like so long forgotten that it would basically be like like a fantasy world.
Yeah.
You know, but like you say with like the robots, like yeah, like the robots could be around for like thousands of years and it would like nothing really changes because it's so unfathomably you know, far in the future that it's basically just a fantasy world.
Doesn't, you know, passage of time just doesn't mean the same thing, you know. I do like how the bad guy had a button on his main ship there that if you push it, it just blows up all the other ships in the fleet. I feel like that was not a great design idea. I just like... I mean,
well, remember, this is the same guy who filled his city with crystal that could just explode if you shoot it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So, yeah, he's very overconfident. But, yeah. Like, why do we even have that button? You know, like, it's a real, like...
Just in case you ever need to blow up all your ships.
Yeah.
At once.
Seemed like not a great idea. For a guy who had been around for a very long time...
He was terrible.
He was absolutely... He was really a He-Man villain.
He was completely reliant on the fact that, like... In the only people that he really lorded over were the people of, like, Mimeworld.
Yeah.
And he completely reliant on the fact that, like, they were kept ignorant of anything beyond, and that they basically were kept, like, in fear.
They treated him like a god, and...
I mean, it was like a Zardoz situation.
Exactly.
He completely just set himself up as a god to them, and so they basically couldn't question anything. Mm. There's, like, the one guy that's, like, really...
Oh, yeah.
Really on board.
Oh, he was Zygon-pilled.
Yeah, he's really on board. He's just, like, he's like, no, like I don't... He won't even consider any possibility other than the fact...
Guy was right-wing as hell.
The problem that I had with it was that I was, like, the depiction of, like, if you don't do... You know, like basically, like, if you don't do what I tell you have to do... Then it'll like be worse for you. Like you'll.
Well, what was is the?
Well, he basically
he's like the God demands the crystals. Yeah, and if we don't give him the crystals. He's gonna, and he even says it's like a threat of death, basically. For you to survive, you must
work for me and produce more for you to like live. And I'm like, dude, their lives are so horrible.
Yeah,
like in a real scenario, like. They wouldn't even, like, you have to have something to live for.
Yeah.
Even if it's just, like, a small kernel.
Yeah.
Or even if it's just, like, a hope that, like even, like, people, like, in a work camp prison thing, it's like, well, they might get out sometime.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe there's some sort of, because they know
remember,
that there's...
You gotta remember, it's been 1,200 years.
Yeah.
These are, like, 12th generation. They don't know any better.
No, but what I'm saying is like, that's my point. That makes my point even more, because what I'm saying
This is the normal for them.
Say you're, like, in a prison work camp or something, right? But you know that there's an outside world.
Yeah.
You're just in a prison work camp. So, like, you could possibly escape, or you could maybe finish your sentence and get out at some point, or, right? But, like, if this was literally your world and your whole life and there's nothing else...
This is the base... This is your base,
like,
level.
What would be the point? Yeah, die, because it can't be worse than what you currently already have. But it's a really empty threat.
It's I guess.
And I understand, like, the human survival instinct is pretty strong. But I mean, like, literally, these people have no, like, rest and respite. Like, they've got nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, if...
Well, this is a respite.
Like, if the bad guy was like, oh, like, when you're done your shift, you can, like... Like, watch a movie, or, like, you know, or, like, have some, like, cool, like, food or something. Like, some little tiny thing. But there's nothing, and so it just makes it very unlikely that people would just be, like, all in on that.
I think my sort of problem with it, and this is probably just a case of trying to make it identifiable, so that at least you'd have a main character that, when he escapes, isn't a drooling idiot. Like... After 1,200 years, that many generations of people in this work environment, like, they wouldn't behave like this. Like, their behaviors would be totally different.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't be, like, they wouldn't think of anything better. They wouldn't think of anything worse. They'd basically be animals.
Yeah.
Like, what is he educating them?
Yeah,
like,
it just like, doesn't what is really it?
Like,
sense.
There's a lot of stuff that doesn't add up.
No.
Also, a lot of them, real tanned, real good skin complexion for never seeing the, you know, daylight.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they're kept that way so that they can work better.
I guess. Yeah.
But it doesn't, even that doesn't really make sense, because you see the whole thing about, like, when he gives the gifts and it's like, pretty meager,
it's just food. It's just like their food.
And it's like, it doesn't seem like there's enough because people fight over it. And it's just well, then what's the point? Like, it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, no, there's a lot about Mind World that didn't
fortunately
make sense.
I mean, they sort of move on from that rather quickly, and then it's just basically and then it just becomes, oh, and then it's just Star Wars.
The thing is the only reason that they don't have robots doing that work is because the bad guy's a robot and he's pro-robot. He doesn't want, you know, like, but the reality is like, it's kind of like the, like, in some ways it's like the giveaway of like, well, the bad guy's clearly not who, like there's something up with the bad guy.
The mind masters or whatever I think they call them, like those, the overseers.
Yeah.
They were pretty cool design. Mm. They look pretty cool.
Those were the ones I think initially really were, I was like, because I got the little symbol on the chest and stuff. Those really made me think He-Man, like, because I was a big He-Man thing, having the symbol on the chest, right?
Yeah, wow.
I was like, huh.
Marketing,
yeah. Yeah, where's my Star Chasers toy range? Never came to fruition. They really could have.
I wonder why.
Yeah, they really could have. Well, they could have made up for them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Look, you couldn't buy Star Wars toys because they were all sold out. Next best thing, you could buy Star Chaser toys.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah. It's not too late to bring it back. Well, in...
Oh, yes, it is.
Well, recently, the rights for it, for a live-action version,
I know,
were bought.
I heard.
I mean, recently, about 10 years ago.
Yeah,
but
no,
I was
there's
like,
no way.
I was like, you've got to
there's
be kidding
no
me.
Way.
I mean...
If anything, I would prefer...
Like if the rights for this were bought, it was, like, by accident as part of another deal. They're like,
honestly,
like we're going to buy this for these properties from you for this amount of money. But we feel we're about $10 short. How about you throw in that Star Chasers?
Like, honestly, I would actually prefer to see like an animated.
Oh, like remake, a redone. Yeah, sure.
Like just a redone animation. Yeah. Because if you think about like with like modern animation and stuff.
For sure. Yeah.
But you could do it like the sort of where it's
upstyle it and
yeah, where it's that kind of like digitally done, like hand drawn style.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
how they can kind of do that now? They kind of make things
look
like
a lot of the like Netflix stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I think that it could actually be kind of interesting to sort of
Punch up the dialogue.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I mean
kind
modernize
of, like,
it, right?
Yeah, modernize a little bit. And like I mean, I'd watch it. Once,
I don't know how you fix the Fembot situation there. But...
Well, the biggest thing, obviously, like,
well, they definitely need to make what is his name? Diggs? Duggs?
Dag.
Dags. Yeah, that's with two G's.
Dag
DeBrini. Yeah.
Which is like such a like trying to make a Star Wars style name.
Dag needs to be made way more likable. Because he's not like
the Han Solo like lovable rogue.
He's like,
Han Solo was
kind of like an abusive, womenizing alcoholic.
Yeah, he's just kind of a terrible person. And that's why
chomped on a cigar the whole time.
He definitely fits more into that kind of heavy metal-ish world than like a Star Wars kind of world.
What if Han Solo was Duke Nukem?
Duke Nukem is more of like a good guy, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, the problem is this guy's, like, he's portrayed as being a good guy, but, like, the specifics of, like, what he does and says is, like, there's just so
he has to be goaded. He has to be
so
pushed
into problematic aspects.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as far as with, like, the female characters, I mean, I think the biggest problem is just that they're so underdeveloped and like, they just, they're not really characters. Like, they have no personality and no, you know, I mean, Silica, the Fembot, had the most... actual like personality and the most kind of spark,
but like
but
remove her from the film.
Yeah,
movie plays out exactly the same except they don't blow up the bad guy city at the end.
Well,
she does literally nothing to advance the
plot.
I
mean, it's certainly not anything like a Leia kind of situation where like she's, you know, extremely important. But
I mean, I guess she does the most important thing. She blows bad guy up at the end, even if it is accidental. But
yeah, but But yeah, I mean, like, you know, sometimes you do want... Sometimes you have characters that are just there for a little color, for a little spice, that don't necessarily have to be...
They're additive, like, not cumulative.
Like, oh, you take them out and it doesn't change the plot. Well, yeah, lots of movies have characters like that.
Yeah.
That's in itself is not the issue. Mm. The issue is having that character and also giving them nothing... Like,
They're also vacuous.
Yeah, like giving them, like making them so like lacking in, you know, and she was the best one. I mean, and even then they had to like, it was, you know, with the non-consensual reprogramming that resulted in that personality. So it wasn't even like your real personality.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, like the princess was just nothing.
Yeah.
It was almost just like, oh, well, we killed off the girlfriend. She came into the
movie so late.
We killed off the girlfriend 10 minutes in, so now we have to give him a new love interest.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why? Like, you could have just not killed off the girlfriend, or you could have done it a different way.
Yeah.
And then it's like, the princess has like even less personality than the girlfriend that we only knew for 10 minutes, you know?
It's like, why?
Yeah, it's
why
really
would you
bad.
Not even attempt to...
It's terrible.
You know... do anything with this. You're gonna go to the time to introduce a character, animate the character, come up with a design for characters.
Speaking of like He-Man references, they needed a cool evil female character.
Yeah.
They didn't have that.
They just had the solo.
Closest
they had is they had Lin. Like he had like his like number one commander guy there. But that guy was again kind of nothing, you know.
No, and the villain for a movie the villain was terrible. He was not good.
Yeah, no. It was a real trash tier villain.
Yeah.
Interesting motivation, terrible execution, both on his part and from the making of him.
Yeah, the concept was good.
Yeah.
And like the sort of like the backstory, what little we get was cool. But his actual what he does in the course of the movie was nothing.
I feel that kind of sums up most of this movie generally. Is like good concept.
Yeah. Like I don't even know if I go that far, little bit here and there, I guess.
I guess this movie has a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
Like a lot of ideas.
Well, it's because
it's like, yes, some of them stick. Yeah. When you have this many ideas,
well, there's like an over arc to the movie, but then it's also very episodic. It's also very like this scene, they go to like this part of the planet.
Yeah. And you can see the commercial breaks.
Or this scene, they go to this other planet and this happens.
Yeah.
Or this scene, they're on this ship and this happens. And it's just like a series of incidents that kind of fill out the runtime.
Yeah.
And then they kind of fall under the umbrella of the over arc of the movie. But it's not really like a strong like plot, like beat to beat.
It's actually a little longer than I expected it to be, too. I was like, this is probably barely over 90 minutes. And it was like, oh, it's almost 2 hours. Wow, that's actually
pretty long. Yeah, it's like an hour.
Extremely abrupt ending. No award. Nobody gets a medal award ceremony at the end of this. It's just bad guy blows up. I guess we're off to the next place.
Well, the starflies. Starflies reveal themselves as being like the former Kakans.
Bunch of old white robed guys come out of the
all the previous Kakans. And then he finds out like, you know, oh, you can join us in your like energy form, you know. And then he's like, no, I'm gonna stretch my legs for a few decades.
Yeah.
Which like that's actually a pretty good line.
Yeah.
And he decides to like stay with his people and stuff and blah blah blah. And then, you know, like I like the fact that because they're just like, it's up to you, like you know, whenever you're ready. And so like it's like he can just convert to his energy form and go off whenever, you know, he feels that it's time. But he can like stay corporeal or whatever, you know. As long as
they don't tell him that the process involves committing seppuku with your own mind saber. And, it's definitely like if I had seen this like when I was a kid, I could definitely understand having nostalgia for it. I probably would not have judged it.
I don't think a lot of people have nostalgia for it.
I would not have judged it.
I don't know. The comments.
The YouTube comments. YouTube
comments were somewhat. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say they were overwhelmingly like, yeah, this was amazing. But there was quite a bit of like, I remember this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, I saw this as a kid.
Huh. Or
like,
I haven't thought about this in a while.
Yeah, so it's like, people have like some nostalgia, I guess, just on the fact that they saw it and they have a memory of seeing it. But like, it didn't seem like very many people were overwhelmingly like whoa, yeah, this is amazing. Because, it's not.
I mean,
it's not amazing.
I gotta think, you know, in 40 years, I'll be like, Star Chasers. Huh, haven't thought about that in a while. Yeah, 40 years. This movie's almost 40 years old. Jeez.
It'll be like your Rosebud.
Oh, no.
Like on your deathbed. Oh, you're like you're like 90 years old, and then you're like, Star Chasers, Legend of Orin. And then you die, and then everyone's trying to figure out what that reference was, why you said that right before you died.
Underdeveloped female characters.
But they're not underdeveloped where it counts. Hey.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I mean, that was the very heavy metal aspect. That was the first thing we were watching it. Laura goes, did they give that robot boobs? And yeah. I was like,
well, she's a fembot.
It's a fembot. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, what are you going to do? Of course
but,
she is.
But why is she a fembot? But I, you know.
Because.
Again, yeah, yeah.
Because.
Yeah, yeah. You know why. You know.
Everyone knows why.
Because it's sci-fi in 1985. That's why. We were just lucky that C-3PO was a big gay robot instead of being a fembot. But, yeah. All right. So that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another movie. We're going to watch it, and then we're going to talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm. Something quite different than...
Oh, yes. Star Chasers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're making a big turn here into something that we've brought up a little bit before, but we'll leave that for next week.
Yeah.
Until then, I'm Chris.
Liz,
cheers.
Bye-bye.